Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's time to wake up with a nice cup of morning roast. Featuring Bonte Hill.
This baby Yama, all day, every day.
Oh, this is
Kate Scott.
She probably likes the tuna sandwiches from 7-Eleven. Oh.
And Joe Shesky.
I know I'm mediocre, but I'm going to give you the best effort I possibly can.
This is the Morning Roast, presented by Timeless Coffee on 95.7 The Game.
All right, it's Beat LA week, right? Dodgers are coming to town this weekend. You got the Lakers tomorrow night. You got the A's playing the Angels. But we all know nobody in L.A. gives a damn about the Angels and Mike Trout and Shohei Ohtani. Why'd you sign with the Angels? Seriously. But we got about 2 days. We're about 2 days away from Warriors and Lakers, Kate and Shasky. Warriors and Lakers. And before I ask Shasky whether or not he still wants the L.A. Lakers, Kate, I was thinking about it last night. How annoying are L.A. fans? Just seriously, how annoying are L.A. fans? Because I do want to get into at some point the most annoying L.A. fans in the country. Yep. Whether they're Dodger fans, Laker fans, I'm not even going to say Angel fans because they don't exist, but USC fans, UCLA fans, Kate. Like, seriously, ooh. L.A. fans are annoying.
Are they mosquitoes, Bonte? Are they the dog that won't stop barking when you have a really important phone call? I'm trying to find the perfect analogy, Joe Shasky. I feel like you probably have it because you are our king of analogies and metaphors on this show. but they are, Bonte, and I feel like annoying isn't even the right word. Depending on the fan base that you mentioned, right? There's so many of them. Like, annoying is not a strong enough word for how I feel about USC fans 99% of the year, except when we have, you know, Ronnie Lott on or one of the other three right. USC alums that I get along with. But there's really only about three. Laker fans, especially during basketball season, like you said, especially probably for the next 48 hours, going to be pretty insufferable. Oh. So maybe it's more like poison oak. Insufferable Ooh. Is a much better word than annoying, Joe Shasky. What do you think when you think Los Angeles sports fans?
I'll tell you what I think in a second, but isn't, like, sports the last spot for discrimination? Like, where it's acceptable. Like, think about it. No, seriously. In every other walk of life, you can't discriminate on anything. You can't body shame people. You can't gender shame them. You can't be ageist or sexist or any mm-hmm. of those things. Yet in sports, I have no problem stereotyping a fan base, right? No problem doing it, and it's totally acceptable, right? Am I wrong? Am I reading the room, you guys?
Like, no, you're not
right
wrong.
Now, if I were to tell you, SoCal fan, mm-hmm. in your head, you have an image. Front runner who likes the Cowboys in football, loves the Yankees in baseball, or maybe the Dodgers, right? Loves the Lakers, wears flip-flops with jeans, or has the Hurley board shorts, right? They've got the flat-brimmed hat that you can't stand. Like, everything about them, you know exactly. Shows up in the fourth inning, leaves yep. in the seventh inning, yep. brings an inflatable ball that you'd have at the beach. Like, when I think of certain sports fans, I think of the SoCal fan, and they are like the bottom rung. Like, if Buffalo Bill fans were at the top in terms of diehard hardcoreness, I think LA SoCal fan is like the most casual, like, I just, again, discrimination is the only way I can put it. I think it's acceptable. Am I wrong? You too?
It doesn't feel like, Kate, they like go out to brunch and they got their flip-flops. And
well, now,
their
now, boys, let's not hate on brunch. Brunch is quite a big deal up here in the Bay Area as well. But yeah,
it is. But poached eggs. And, hey, let's get to the Rams game by 7 minutes left in the first quarter. Let's just casually walk in and, like, let's pretend to root for the L.A. Rams. And as soon as they start losing – well, you know what? We can go somewhere else. We go to a Chargers game or something. And Laker fan has reemerged. Laker fan has been so annoying over the last few weeks. And heck, since they became relevant again post-Kobe. I think about all the celebrities that go to their games. Now, Jack Nicholson, he's cool. I respect him. But Denzel Washington, is he really a Laker fan? He's wearing his New York hat all the time at Staples Center. Leonardo DiCaprio, does he even know how to play basketball? Like seriously,
think about
all the dudes who are sitting courtside or ladies at Staples Center. Who'd you say, Shasky?
Well, wasn't Leonardo DiCaprio in Basketball Diaries? So I always joke and I call it Hoop Dreams because he was like a heroin addict or whatever. And he was like banging on the door, Mom, let me in. And the basketball scenes were so bad. So bad.
And you guys, and you guys know how little experience I have when it comes to seeing movies. That's why at some point we're just going to keep teasing until we unveil it. But I think we have decided it's going to be called Better Kate Than Never, a segment where I watch movies the night before and then we come back and review movies that I should have seen 35 years ago. But the funny thing about that movie is my grandma bought it for me, I think for like my 10th or 11th birthday because she didn't know what it was about. But isn't there a basketball hoop? I'm flashing back to the DVD cover and I feel like there's a basketball hoop and it looks
the rain.
Like sepia tone or sepia or however you see it. So Graham's not knowing, just thought Bonte and Joe, oh, here will be a great movie for my 10-year-old, not knowing that it was about like heroin addiction and some slightly deeper things than basketball.
Exactly. It's all about drugs. Since we're here, okay, I think that these go hand in hand. There's something about the SoCal fan that to me feels doctored, okay? Like it's fake. You're not really a fan of your team. Like, for example, if you were a long-suffering Giants fan before they won championships, there was some edge to you. There was some grit. There was like, yeah, I'm a Giants fan. This team isn't the greatest. We don't have any World Series banners, but I still follow them. It just feels like with the Laker fans, it's like, hey, it's hip to put on a Dodger hat, be a Dodger fan. I'm going to put on a Kobe jersey. Go, Kobe. I like number 8 Kobe better than number 24. And it just feels so fake. It's almost like the Botox in Angelina Jolie's face. Like, it's just super, super fake. And there's just something about a SoCal fan, Bonte, that I find disingenuous.
I love this text from the 209. LA fans on our text line. L.A. fans are like a rock in your shoe. You just can't get rid of them. Mm. I mean, and you know what? That may be spot on. That's pretty good because, Kate, you're poison oak and itching, and it's just an itch that doesn't go away. You just like Dodger fans, the way they talk, the way they speak, the way they just take in the baseball game. Laker fans, the way they take in basketball games. And, like, if they're losing, hey, it's no worries. We're the Lakers. We got 17 banners up on the wall. It's all good. Like, I think the edge part, the spunkiness, the lateness, like, it's none of that soul from L.A. SoCal fans. Even going out of San Diego, like, I saw a bunch of Padre fans here a couple weeks ago. Some most Padre fans I've seen in 35 years I've covered baseball. Seriously, or watched baseball.
San Diego is an interesting fan base. And I have had this conversation with friends of mine who are San Diego sports fans, who live in San Diego, who have actually told me, yeah, we're an awful sports fan base. Like, we come and we go. We're kind of like the waves down here in Southern California and San Diego. If our team is good, we'll go to games. Otherwise, we've got plenty of good things to do. But I'm interested to see today because I know everybody has had an experience with a certain fan from a certain Los Angeles fan base that makes you hate that fan base. I think, maybe I'm just speaking from personal experience, a little bit more than the others. And we can get into that later in the program because mine is the USC Trojans. But I'm also open to speaking, obviously, about the Dodgers and the Los Angeles Lakers and all the other great teams we love to hate down there.
You know, B and I, you know, Kate, we're kind of weirdos when it comes to, like, the history of these teams, right? Like, the history of the team. Oh, back
history of
in
every
1971,
team.
You know, the Giants faced the Dodgers on a Tuesday in May, and it was an incredible series. There were 60,000 down in L.A. But there is something to be said for – there has been a generation of Bay Area fans that really haven't gotten the SoCal, NorCal actual rivalry pumped into their bloods. And I'm talking about playoff forged rivalries. There hasn't been a Giants-Dodger rivalry in terms of like both teams being at the height of their powers in a pennant race facing each other. Like it's, we just really haven't had that. Like when the Giants were winning, either the Dodgers had a commanding lead in the NL West or then the Giants would, you know, edge in there and they missed each other in the playoffs. Obviously the Rams moved out to St. Louis. Now they've moved back. That feels like it's kind of on the rise, on the ascension. And the Sleepy Floyd game is one that we point to, but people forget Warriors got ran out of the building basically in that series. Right. And it feels like that was a lifetime and a half ago. I mean, it was almost 40 years ago. So I think that there are a lot of young Bay Area fans that are in their 30s that are raising kids that don't even know what a Warrior-Laker, NorCal-SoCal playoff rivalry would feel like.
Well, and isn't this why weeks ago, Joe, when you started to rub your hands together and say, what about a Laker-Warriors play-in game? Wasn't that one of the big reasons that you brought it to the table, knowing farewell that the Warriors would be the less talented team going into this game, but because of what you just talked about, that we have been craving a rivalry between our teams for so long that this could be a great way to get it started.
B, the biggest rival for the Warriors in their entire title run is LeBron James. It's not a singular team. To me, it's just LeBron James. I don't think the Warriors have a true team rival. The Clippers for a minute when both were, you know, non-championship teams, when the Warriors hadn't won one, that was a fun, you know, kind of new rivalry, a microwave rivalry. But I don't think the Warriors had any history to where they built up callus to have a rival. They weren't good enough. And so I've been wanting just a team to hate. And LeBron James is the rival. And now he's on the Lakers for the Southern California team that I can't stand.
What's crazy is that Sacramento's never been good when the Warriors have been good, and the Warriors weren't good when Sacramento was good. So you don't have that natural I-80 rivalry, which would be really, really cool. Although those games are a lot of fun. Lakers-Warriors really haven't met in the playoffs since Mullen got beaten five games a couple times by Magic and Kareem and James Worthy. And they were smoked. They were at a mismatch. Giants-Dodgers, as you mentioned, Butch, haven't met in the playoffs, which we've been waiting for. A Dodger-Giants series in the playoffs would be riveting. Like, when I think of the Giants, their biggest rivals in the playoffs in my lifetime seems to be the St. Louis Cardinals. That seems to be the biggest rival in the playoffs when it comes to the Giants, or maybe even the Braves, who they've met. But I'm glad you brought up LeBron, because we're going to get into this all show long. Is LeBron the biggest the Warriors' biggest rival? And I want you two to chew on something. Has Steph had a better decade of basketball than LeBron James? I want you to think about this. It sounds crazy, right? Sounds crazy. But you look at the last decade of hoops from 2010, 2011 till now. Has Steph Curry had a better decade of basketball? It sounds preposterous, right? But really think about that. I want to ask our listeners to 888-957-9570 as we dive into the show. Couple days before the Warriors take on the Lakers, they flew out to L.A. yesterday. It's going down to Staples Center tomorrow night at 7 p.m. We'll talk about it all night long, or all morning long, here on the Morning Roast. Kate Scott, Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy, Bonte Hill. We'll be right back.
Don't miss Warriors Lakers. Coverage starts tomorrow at 5:30 on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Morning Roast, brought to you by Timeless Coffee.
Hunter Pence going to join us at 9:30. Talk a little Giants. Boy, got Harry yesterday in Cincinnati. That bullpen scares. Hey, what do you call it? Kate Scott, the heebie-jeebies? That sounds like my grandmother right there. I like that, the heebie-jeebies.
Matt Heebie-Jeebie Whistler, right, Bonte?
Home run derby out there in Cincinnati. Oh, man, but Yaz is starting to warm up. Two home runs in the last 2 days there. We'll talk to Hunter at 9:30. George Sedano covers everything L.A. We'll talk some Lakers, Warriors, because tomorrow night is going down at Staples Center. And before the break, I asked you guys, who's had the better decade? Steph or LeBron in basketball? It's a simple but very complex question. And right off the surface, people are going to say, are you on drugs this morning, Bonte? Are you on drugs?
Are you smoking dope?
Yeah, maybe. Maybe I was smoking a little dope last night. Maybe I needed dope to go to sleep. But when I look at the head-to-head records, right, I see the playoffs. I see Steph Curry 15-7 against LeBron James. Regular season, I see LeBron 9-7 against Steph Curry. Then you look at all the points per game, and you take the awards and the MVPs and the scoring titles. it's closer than you think. And then you hear Mike Wilbon, and I want to set this up here. Mike Wilbon joined DRK yesterday, and this is what he had to say about Stephen Curry. Here's Wilbon.
For all the times that Steph Curry has entertained us, I mean, LeBron's on a separate sort of chart, right? I mean, he's on something with Bill Russell and guys and Magic, although Magic was the ultimate entertainer. Magic and Michael Todd, I guess, the ultimate entertainer winners. But Steph Curry and Dame Lillard, to me, are the two guys who in the last 3 or 4 years have just brought sheer joy. Joy from what they do in games. Playoff games, too. And so I want that rewarded. I don't want to see Steph Curry eliminated from the playoffs. I don't. I want to see him play. I think I like to see Steph Curry play more than I like to see anybody play in this era. I know LeBron James is going to go down in history as a greater player. I get that. But Steph Curry is the greatest ever at the thing that is most important to people who watch or have ever picked up a basketball, shooting it. So I want to see him play on.
Wow. What do you guys think about Wilbon there, Shasky?
I mean, Wilbon, it's interesting for him. He's a basketball savant, just got into the Hall of Fame. So clearly the guy knows his stuff. There's no doubt about it. If I'm being totally honest, super jealous of Wilbon. I wanted to have that show, PTI, for many years. It's one of the great innovations in sports history. Like, we're not at the YouTube era that we're at without guys like Wilbon. And when he says something, it resonates with me. Just looking at the LeBron-Steph Curry thing, though, B, look, I love Steph Curry. I really do. Just look at the body of work. Just for this last decade, if we're going to go 2011 through now for LeBron James, 4 championships, all 4 of them, okay? 4 mm-hmm. NBA Finals MVPs. I know we can talk about the MVP Finals for that's a debate for a different day. 11 straight All-Star games, or 10, you know, 10, I guess, technically, because it's 10 years.
Right.
3 defensive first teams. 2 outright MVPs, and then he led the league in assists. So he's evolved his game this year. I guess 2020, he led the league in assists. Right. He's evolved his game over the time. A lot of that work was done at the beginning of this last decade, if you will, 2011, 12, 13, 14, when he was with the Heatles. Mm-hmm. I lean LeBron, but I do think that Steph Curry has a very, very good case because a lot of his body of work goes from 2014 on. Mm-hmm. So, man, it's a tough one. And here's the separator, too, for me, B. It's not just the NBA. LeBron's done some great things on Team USA as well. And those things, for me, those gold medals, I can't overlook them. Not that that's not, you know, it's not Curry's fault that he didn't play in those because he was getting rehabbed and whatnot. But I got to give LeBron a little bit of credit for playing with those USA teams. He was outstanding.
Mm-hmm. And he's done great stuff off the floor as well. Think about how much he's done with the racial and social justice movements. I mean, LeBron was at the forefront of all of that for the entire NBA and for a lot of athletes other than, you know, Megan Rapinoe and WNBA and Colin Kaepernick and stuff. But he was right there with all of those leaders when it came to what's been going on off the court the last number of years. So, ooh, that's a difficult question, Bonte. But the thing that I like about what Wilbon said, and I think it gets back to the discussion we've been having for the last week plus, is you always need a good other, a good rival to help raise your status, right? And I don't think we would be discussing LeBron the way we do these days and have, and maybe this is just a personal feeling. I feel like more and more people are starting to like and respect him. Maybe not like, but more and more people are starting to respect him and sit back and recognize all the things Joe just listed off. Like, wow, this guy is phenomenal, what he's been able to accomplish. And I think a lot of that is in large part to Stephen Curry and how incredible he's been and the joy and the fact that they've gone toe-to-toe now for so many years, oftentimes for the NBA championship.
You know, the fact that we're even having this discussion, I think, speaks volumes to Steph Curry. It speaks volumes.
Yeah.
Like, LeBron James, at the beginning of this decade, joining the Miami Heat and the old Heatles thing, and they're going to 4 straight NBA finals. They win 2 of them. And they win one of them in dramatic fashion against San Antonio. And Steph Curry was rehabbing the ankle. We had no idea what Steph Curry was going to be. Okay, he's a great shooter, but he's a transcendent. Is he going to transcend the game? Is he going to change the game?
Right.
Is he going to be a superstar? Is he going to raise this Maury Bunn franchise that has been decrepit for so freaking long? And is he going to raise the heights and the levels of play with the Golden State Warriors? And so the fact that we're having this discussion, I'm like, wow, wait a minute. Steph Curry's been that good. And he's become a rival of LeBron James out of nowhere. Like, Magic and Bird had the college national championship, Indiana State, Michigan State, that we all heard about, which set the tone for their NBA career. You know, Matt, who was Jordan's real rival? Was it Isaiah? Well, they had many years in the Eastern Conference. Michael Jordan playing in Chicago of Isaiah's hometown. Isaiah Thomas from Chicago. Jordan playing in Chicago. Jordan takes over Isaiah's hometown. You know what I'm saying? So, like, I don't know. Like, this rivalry was the one that was unexpected. We expected LeBron, Melo. Maybe LeBron, Kevin Durant, especially after they met in the 2011 finals, OKC and Miami. The Steph-LeBron rivalry kind of came out of nowhere. And it was like, wait a minute. This little light-skinned dude just came out and stole everybody's thunder. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, it was supposed to be Chris Paul. It was supposed to be KD or Russell Westbrook. And so that's why it's so unexpected. That's why it's such a riveting rivalry, I believe.
Well, it's not just LeBron and how great he is. I think it's also... You're kind of going science against art here, right? Like, LeBron is science. Like, if you were to sculpt somebody from scratch, he'd be 6'9", 260 pounds, run like the wind, jump out of the gym, and be a bull when it comes to strength. Mm-hmm. Now, I look at Steph Curry, and he's not science. He's not the 6'7", 6'8", 6'9", freak. Like, Kevin Durant, I think, is a more, when you just look at them, and I think this is why people wanted Kevin Durant versus LeBron to be something, because Kevin Durant more resembles what we're accustomed to seeing on the court, even though it's freakish, just the height and the physical gifts they pop out. Steph Curry's more art. Like, there's a leap of faith, if you will, almost like a religion that you have to make if you want to believe in Steph Curry. And I can understand those who want to dismiss him. And I think there's a lot of similarities between Steph and Russell Wilson. We deny, because it's so different than what we're accustomed to seeing. Yet the physical strength of a Josh Allen or even a Tom Brady, 6'4", statuesque, sitting in the pocket, LeBron resembles our idea of what the science would look like if someone were to dominate the league the way he has for the last 20 years. So it's not just, I think, that LeBron is so incredible. I think it just looks so different. People are like, whoa, I'm not ready to embrace this.
Is Steph the more skillful player? Because LeBron is big. And kind of like Shaq, where Shaq was athletic, but his brute strength helped him score for at sure. will. Mm-hmm. And LeBron going to the basket, like, nobody wants to get in front of this guy. Guy's like a locomotive train, right? He's barging into people. He's dropping that shoulder. Steph's skill level seems to be on another level. And I'm not dismissing LeBron James at all, because high IQ, great passer, Kate. But the skill level.
And I think for his size, Bonte, he is phenomenally skilled. What LeBron does, being as big and physically dominant as he is, continues to impress me. But yes, I think when it comes to the actual skill, we talked about it yesterday, the way he can hit floaters from so many different spots on the lane, he can hit shots from anywhere on the court, his handle, yes, I would definitely give Steph that. And I think that's why he's been able to compete with LeBron James, because he had to be more skilled, because LeBron is so physically dominant.
Unbelievable. Warriors Lakers tomorrow, 7 p.m. The rivalry continues between Steph Curry and LeBron James. We'll dive more into it here on the Morning Roast. Kate Scott, Joe Shasky, the Butcher Boy, and Bonte Hill. And this segment was presented by Golden State Lumber, open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday, with some locations open on Saturday. Visit GoldenStateLumber.com for more information. And, you know, we were talking about L.A. fans in the first segment here. What are the characteristics of a quintessential L.A. fan? I want to know. 888-957-9570. Is it going late to games? Is it sipping on lattes with open-toe flip-flops? Is it little V-neck shirts that you're walking out of the house in 60-degree weather? What are the characteristics?
Gotta be careful with some of these.
I know. What are the characteristics of a quintessential L.A. fan? I want to know. 888-957-9570. The roast will continue on the other side.
Don't miss Warriors Lakers. Coverage starts tomorrow at 5:30 on 95.7 The Game. Now, back to the Morning Roast, brought to you by Timeless Coffee.
You know, this rivalry thing, SoCal, NorCal, and LA sports fans, and the characteristics of a quintessential LA sports fan. Kate, you've been around the Pac-12, and you've been down to LA. I've seen you on the field at USC games with crying mothers and excited Trojan players. I've seen you at the Rose Bowl. Right. You've been covering at the Galen Center. But LA fans just rub me the wrong way, and I'm sure they rub Joe Shatsky the wrong way. You may have more knowledge about this than anybody on this show.
Well,
what is the characteristic of a quintessential LA fan.
Well, see, Bonte, this is where we have to be careful, because as I'm sure you're already seeing on the text line when you were talking about brunch in flip-flops at the end of the last segment, which is a fun thing to tease about until you go out to brunch in San Francisco,
you know,
or Marin, or Walnut
the
Creek,
transplants.
Or
the transplants.
Oakland, or
the transplants
also,
have
also there's some California things that stretch the length of either Interstate 80 or I-5 or 99, or throw out whatever highway you want to and add a the to it when you go over the grapevine. So it is difficult, because I want to say things like, well, they show up late to games and then they leave early. Well, they don't know anything about their teams. They just like the colors, so they go out and then they're the most obnoxious people at the arena or at the stadium. But anybody who's been to, you know, a Warriors game in the last 4 or 5 years, a Giants game in the last 4 or 5 years, things have started to kind of bleed up into Northern California, Joe Shasky. So I'm still kind of racking my brain, because I want to say obnoxious and inconsiderate. But I'm sure that there's a Los Angeles fan who's had the same interaction with somebody who cheers for the Sharks or the Quakes or the A's or the Giants, right? So I'm still trying to rack my brain for that perfect way to describe a Los Angeles sports fan, Joe Shasky.
The number one thing is they have no attachment to actual L.A. at all. They've never lived there. Their family's not from there. The Lakers just happened to be good when they were a kid. Like, that's the number one thing. Like, how many Warrior fans have run into a Laker fan who grew up in Concord? And you're like, well, why are you a Laker fan? And they're like, well, because the Lakers were good and the Warriors stunk. And that's why I've always been a Laker fan. Yep. I'm just using Concord as an example. Same thing happens in Des Moines. Same thing happens in Jacksonville. Same thing happens in Austin, Texas. They're everywhere, and they drive me completely insane. They are fair weather bandwagon jumpers. This is what their Twitter headline says. I love the Boston Bruins, the New York Yankees, the Lakers, and the Cowboys. And you're like, what? Yeah, I'm looking at you, guru. And I'm 10. How? Wow. How could you like those six teams? How can you? How is it even possible to be a Bama Laker fan? What?
Lay off.
Because you're a front runner. So the Sorry, key Jeff. Ingredient is no actual attachment to the Los Angeles area whatsoever.
So it's coming to me now, Bonte, as Joe was saying that. I hear that, but I also know, again, I'm trying to be as discerning as possible this morning, because a lot of these characteristics also fall on a lot of Bay Area people, right? There's a lot of Bay Area transplants now who mm-hmm. landed here in 2016 and thought, oh man, Stephen Curry and the Warriors sure look like a fun team to hitch my wagon to. I think it might be a level of elitism, Bonte, that for most Bay word. Area sports fans is untouchable. Mm. I'm sure, because I'm trying to think again of something that would right. be harder than, you know, the flip-flops and the brunch and the transplants and stuff. But when I think about the interactions I've had with USC alums, with Dodger fans, with Kings fans, don't get me started on some hockey,
King
soccer,
Sharks,
Galaxy
man, yeah.
fans. Don't get me started on freaking Galaxy fans when I was a part of the Cali Classico rivalry working for the Quakes. There's just a level of a, you wish you could be us and you never will, which isn't the case. But Joe, they lean into that with all of their soul.
Doesn't Snoop Dogg kind of embody what I think of when I think of Southern California fans, where it's like, yeah, Lakers, Lakers. Oh, the We Believe Warriors are good? Get me a ticket. I'll sit in the front row and get me some Warrior gear. I am now part of the We Believe Warriors. Like, and I love Snoop Dogg. I really do. Like, ask him who his NFL team is. Steelers! Steelers! And then he's on the sideline with USC. Now he's a Ram fan, but he also likes the Raiders.
Ravens. He also likes the Ravens, too.
Snoop likes everyone. He is the perfect embodiment of the Southern California fan. Just a front-running bandwagon jumper who shows up late to the party and all of a sudden is a fan of that team.
What do you think, Bonte?
I'm kind of with Joe here because I've been down to L.A. a few times and just interacting with L.A. fans. Like, I've been in fantasy football. Like, Lord knows how I got into this league. But it's nothing but L.A. cats.
Because you're in, like, 30 different leagues? That's probably not. Yeah, he was like, probably. Oh, a new league to join? Okay.
Kate, it was a quick money grab. I didn't want that league, like, three times, man. They didn't help your boy out during some Christmases. Well, look, like, the way they interact, like, oh, man, the Lakers, you know, Kyle Kuzma just, he doesn't do it like the way they talk about it compared to the way we talk about it. It's just like casual. Like, oh yeah, Kyle Kuzma, we gave him all the money, but he could be a really good starter for us. And, you know, just, it's just like very surface level. Like, yeah, it's all good. We got Kuz. We got Anthony Davis. And the fact that LeBron James is now wearing a Laker uniform, which brings me to, because I see you here on Twitch, and people are saying, yeah, I know somebody from Richmond who loves the Cowboys. They love the Lakers. They love the Braves. All the national TV teams. The TBS Braves, the Lakers, and then the Cowboys, of course.
They were on TV when I was young.
Exactly. So, like, that's the L.A. fan to me, Kate. It's like, yeah, we care when we're winning. We care when we're winning. Where you see Niner fans, we got more interaction with them losing than they're – like, we would do post-game shows, Kate Shasky and I. Niners win, no calls. Niners lose, oh, it's bang the fall lines. We can't get in soon enough. L.A. fans, only hear from them when they win. So that brings me to the point of LeBron James. You get LeBron James, who's basically set hopped in the NBA, right? Gone from Cleveland. All right, I'm going to go down to South Beach and go – join forces with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh. And I love you, LeBron. You're great. But you have joined forces with the Heatles. Then you go back to Cleveland. And then you go to L.A. to play for the Lakers. Like, he's an L.A. guy now. Like, LeBron James is the guy who, you know what an L.A. fan, now that I thought about it, the shop, his show, the shop. He's in the barber seat with wine. I've never met anybody who sipped wine in a barbershop. You know what happens in a barbershop? There's blunts getting rolled, there's beers getting cracked, or you're drinking water. Nobody sips red wine, and that, to me, is an L.A. vibe. LeBron James sipping wine in a barbershop. So the fact that he's a Laker makes me hate the Lakers even more.
LeBron James.
Kate, when I watch television that my wife watches, which I actually enjoy it more than I want to admit, like, they go shopping in L.A., Rodeo Drive or whatever the hell it's called, and like they serve them champagne. I'm talking about like the women when they go shopping. I've never seen that in the Bay Area. Is that a LA only thing? Like, seriously.
Oh no, Joe, it exists. You get to a certain level of wealth and they welcome you into the store not just with a hello, but they welcome you with gifts because like they know you're going to spend so much money. Oh yes, I have only been into a few stores like that, and it has only been when Nicole has taken me, but I gotta tell you, she made it look real natural, Joan Bonte. Kind of freaked me out. I was like, wait a second. She was like, oh, thank you. Yes. Just strides right in. So she did go to UCLA for undergrad. So I've got to be very careful about my LA takes. She is a Bay Area girl, but went down there for 4 years before she came back.
There's this thing. Again, God rest his soul. I want to say that on the front end. So please don't destroy me on this. But while he was alive, there was a worshiping of Kobe Bryant requirement. Like, you had to worship not just Kobe, the ground he walked on. You got to throw the rose petals like it's coming to America and you're getting out of bed. And it's like, I'm serious. It's like, you wake up in the morning and it's like, Magic Johnson, Kobe Bryant, and no one can come close to Kobe. You're not allowed to slander Kobe at all. Now, again, I understand that he's passed away, and we all feel a certain way about Kobe, but while he was living, the embodiment worship. Now, look, I'm a huge Barry Bonds fan, huge Jerry Rice fan, huge Steph Curry fan. Do we worship these guys the way that Laker fans worship Kobe Bryant?
That's a really good
question. I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so. I've almost gotten to fist fights over Kobe Bryant. No joke. LeBron's better than Kobe Bryant. What'd you say? Like heated arguments over just who's better, just because my opinion is, I think LeBron's better. Oh, what do you say? They do take it to another level, Laker fans, that is. They take it to another level when it comes to Kobe. And Tamir, by the way, Tamir said that we need to go to the real spots, not the rich spots in L.A. We're not rich. You see what we're wearing here on Twitch?
Exactly.
We're working in the morning trying to make a buck, Tamir.
We work in radio.
What rich spot? Yeah. What rich spot have I ever been to in L.A.? Are you kidding me? No, the Kobe thing is real because people just would like Kobe Bryant. They would follow the player, but that's what you see in the NBA. You see that a lot in the NBA. People follow the player. Like, if Steph Curry played, God forbid he plays for another team, but if he played for another organization, there would be a lot of Warrior fans who would buy Steph Curry jerseys for whatever team he played on because they worship Curry. There is some Warrior fans who worship Curry.
I get that. I'm not saying you're wrong, B. There's no doubt about it. There's something to that. But there's just something, as somebody born and raised here, when I see an L.A. Dodger hat, I feel that I have to. It is my duty to say some ridiculous remark to that individual. I'll be golfing at Glen Eagles, and I'll see somebody wearing a Dodger. And I'm like, ah, the cute participation trophy you guys got last year. How'd that feel? Or, you know, I'm pulling up in traffic. I got the whole family in the car, and I see a guy in a Dodger hat, and I'll roll the window down, and I'll give him the little look like, yeah, roll the window down. Dodgers suck. And I just feel like I got to say it with a smile in my face. And I'm not looking to get a fight. I feel like it is my duty to talk smack to Dodger fans and mm-hmm. Laker fans because mm-hmm. I just want to see that little smug face get wiped away as I shock them with a ridiculous Dodgers suck take.
You know what, Kate Chasky? Now that I'm thinking about it, I feel like the teams are not as hated as much as the players. And what I mean by that is, when you think about the Bay Area, and yeah, Giants fans hate the Dodgers, right? Giants fans hate the Cardinals, but they hate the Dodgers. Warrior fans can't stand Laker fans, can't stand the Lakers. But there really hasn't been much there. I feel like there's a rivalry between the players more so than the actual teams. For example, Clayton Kershaw. I can't stand Clayton Kershaw, but there's some Dodgers that I really like. You know what I'm saying? Like, I like Corey Seager. I think he's a baller. Bellinger is a baller, even though he looks like
Bellinger.
The dude.
Come on. How dare you talk down on him?
I mean, seriously. Like, LeBron James. Do we hate LeBron James more than the Lakers?
What just happened?
Yeah, because I picked him to win the NL MVP a couple of years ago because uh-huh. I just love – he's the – we have Mike Yastrzemski, all right? But I grew up watching Carl Yastrzemski swings. And my dad has this book, The Art of Hitting. And so I've always been into, like, heard launch angle and hitting before it became a trend and a thing. Yeah. And so I've studied the baseball swing. And I said years ago to Covey, we were doing a lot of predictions. I'm like, Cody Bellinger has the best swing in baseball right now for the modern era. He is the modern Carl Yastrzemski. And so there's kind of been, like, a nighttime running joke that I'm a closet Dodger fan Cody Bellinger's my boyfriend and because I picked him to win the NL MVP.
I just felt like we couldn't gloss over that, Bonte. He was just like my boyfriend.
I barely heard it.
I'm going to need to dig into that for just a second. Okay, continue, Bonte.
But I seriously enjoy watching him play. To Bonte's point, I can't stand the Dodgers, but I watch him in awe because he's so damn good. I liked Raul Mondesi growing up. I thought Raul Mondesi was a baller. Hated Mike Piazza. Hated Eric Karros. Couldn't stand Todd Hollinsworth and all these random Dodgers. Nomo. I actually liked Nomo. I went to so many Giants games where it would be 60,000 deep just to see Nomo because he was such a novelty act at the time. And I loved watching Nomo. Who didn't do the fake Nomo pause at the top of the of the delivery when they were
which
playing strikeouts.
Joe is doing for us right now on the Twitch. Right, that was what I don't pull a muscle.
You know what I mean? Yeah, so seriously. It's the same thing with Lakers. I hated Devin George and Rick Fox and Derek Fisher. Don't even start me with Derek Fisher.
Worst.
Ronnie Turioff. Remember when the Warriors signed Ronnie Turioff because he had a little dynasty dust sprinkled on him by Kobe? He's the 11th man. Like, what are we doing?
So do you hate the player more so than the team?
Both.
Like, is it because, like, LeBron James, I feel like Warrior fans hate LeBron James more so than the Lakers. It's LeBron James that probably brings that rivalry. Because let's be honest, there's no rivalry between the Warriors and Lakers. Yeah. It's SoCal, NorCal. It's a fun little matchup. Mm-hmm. But there hasn't been any, like, pure hate for the L.A. Lakers from NorCal. And I feel like adding LeBron to the equation, he may be the biggest Bay Area rival possibly of all time. I'm thinking Brett Favre. I'm thinking Troy Aikman. I'm thinking Emmitt Smith. I'm thinking Clayton Kershaw, Mike Piazza. Is LeBron James like the biggest rival for Bay Area fans?
I think he's definitely in the top three for me. I hear you on – I think Tommy Lasorda, just as a figure, forget him as a person. Like, as a figure, I think he metaphorically is in the top three. I think LeBron James is absolutely in that top three. Oh, man, who else I would put there?
Clayton Kershaw has to be in there.
Yeah,
And I struggle with tying LeBron to L.A. still, even though I know he's been there for, what, 3-4 years now? Mm-hmm. He still is that – getting to transplants, which we were talking about. Mm-hmm. There's something about the guy who's been there forever, right? I'm sure Los Angeles fans hate Steph and hate Buster and hate the guys who've been there since the beginning. So I think of Los Angeles and I think of Clayton Kershaw and I don't like your face because you've been there from the beginning.
No doubt. Well, and I think for me, again, on the Tommy Lasorda tip, like a lot of people, they see him like, oh, he's great for the rivalry. I legitimately hate the person because then I saw the Glenn Burke story that was on NBC Bay Area and it was like, oh my God, not only is he Dodger blue and he'd lean into it coming out of the family pavilion at Candlestick, blowing kisses to everybody, he's also a god-awful human who was a horrible father. Very easy to hate. Very easy to dismiss. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I noticed this. Like Giants-Dodgers, we see it. We know it. When I went to the Ram-Niner game, the first one, when they went back to L.A., the Niners had, I believe it was C.J. Beathard or Nick Mullins, who was the quarterback. They got blown out by Todd Gurley. You can feel it in the air. Awful. Even though the Niners had Jimmy Garoppolo hurt for the year, I could feel the tension between L.A. and San Francisco in the air. This is down at Levi's. This isn't in the quarters. You feel. And then that night game.
Uh-oh, I think we're losing Shasky. He's just talking into the microphone. He doesn't realize that.
Why does this happen, Bonte? Why does this happen? He's looking at us like, what the? I was mid-rant.
By the way, it's a good time, Kate, to let everybody know the segment is presented by Go to Say Lumber. Open from 6 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday with some locations open on Saturday. Visit gotostatelumber.com for more information. 888-957-9570. Is LeBron James the biggest villain to Bay Area sports fans? Because I think that's where we should start here, Kate, before we get to King of the Hill.
Mm-hmm.
Brett Favre, especially what he's done off the football field, has become hated. You hear some of the things Brett Favre has said since he's retired. It makes me despise him even more.
And I was actually a Favre fan when he played back in the day. But since then, just he keeps falling further and further down my list of athletes. Yeah, anyway, keep going, B.
Stock down. Emmitt Smith, Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin. I couldn't stand them when they played. But I kind of like Michael Irvin now when he's as a media member. I kind of like Troy Aikman as an analyst. Emmitt Smith, whatever. Who else? Tommy Lasorda, rest in peace. But, couldn't stand his ass. Couldn't stand him. I'm starting to think that LeBron James, and maybe it's just recency bias, but maybe LeBron James is the biggest Bay Area rival, is the biggest villain for Bay Area sports fans. Because when you bring up LeBron James and Warrior fans, you see the constant battles on Twitter. It is a war. It is a war between LeBron fans and Warrior fans. And then you add the Laker fan to the equation, and it's like, oh, my Lord, I can't stand this guy. I can't stand anything about him.
And that's why I'm so excited, and I know Joe is as well, and hopefully we'll get his mic working again very soon.
I'm here.
It sounded like he's back. That's why I'm so excited about tomorrow night's game, because we had the rivalry for a couple of years, right? Warriors-Cavs, and it's gone away. But that was so much fun, getting back to what Wilbon said, the cut we played just a little while ago, Bonte, it is just pure joy and entertainment. And if they could, even if it's for a couple of years, get that rivalry restarted and rejuvenated while LeBron is on the Lakers and Steph is here with the Warriors, guys, it's what we've been talking about forever. Things are so fun when it's Giants-Dodgers, when it's Sharks-Kings, when it's Galaxy-Quakes, like when both teams are good enough to really lean into that hate because the games matter. So that's one of the big reasons, Joe, I can't wait for tomorrow night.
It feels like if we were breaking down the L.A. Bay Area kind of rivalry, the Bay Area has always been the little brother. And there's just like that's just how I view it. Like the Dodgers are winning championships in the 70s and into the 80s.
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously the Giants weren't. They never won. They never won until recently. The Lakers have always won. Always. And the Warriors have never won. Now, they had the Niners, and they had their run, but it was great at the end of the 80s when you had Rams versus Niners, and the Niners ended up eventually, obviously, being one of the great teams of the decade. But it always feels like, to me, the Bay Area has been trying to punch up to the L.A. scene.
Totally.
And there's always been this, like, chip on our shoulder, we hate them, and that Dodger fans could care less about us. Laker fans could care less about us because you don't exist. And so that, for me, has only made me more angry towards Southern California.
That's good stuff.
It gets back to the elitism that I was talking about, Bonte, right? It doesn't matter if they've won recently. They just always carry that air of, we are superior to you. So even if you win 3-5 like the Giants, even if you win as many championships as Stephen Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green have over the last decade, it doesn't matter. That's cute. That's great. But just wait till the next iteration of our team and franchise, right? We will then just be the dominant, superior organization once again. Until then, we're just going to sit here and drink our champagne.
I can't get over Shashi saying, hey, you're better than us. We don't even think you exist. What was our face, man?
It's the truth. That's what I get every single time. Whenever I used to go to Giants games, I'll never forget my bachelor party, 2010. Okay, it's August 1st. It's the July 31st trade deadline. Giants-Dodgers, huge game. 1-0, upsets Pat Burrell. And Dodger right. fans are wearing their Kobe jerseys with their Dodger hats. And they're like, we're the cream of the crop. You guys haven't won anything. And all we ever had is Giants fans to yell at them was like, well, we got Bonds. And they'd always go, steroids. Yep. Like, you know yep. how these chants go back and forth. The little jabs when you're hanging out in the concession lines or the beer lines. And finally, the Giants end up winning one. Finally, they win that first one. But I always go back to, like, pre-World Series, you didn't have a comeback. There was no comeback. Like, I had nothing in my arsenal. I had nothing in my Batman belt to, like, battle back. It's like, well, we won a championship in 1988. When was the last time you won one? Going back to New York in 1954? And it's like, oh, damn it. Exactly. I don't know. Like, you got nothing. Exactly. To make it a rivalry, you got to have some winning on both sides. Otherwise, it's a stomp out. Bay Area's been stomped out by L.A. over the years.
It's also, too, the whole public transportation thing, right? NorCal fans take BART. They take Muni. They get
damn
on AC
right
Transit.
Damn
they
right
get grimy.
We do.
They get grimy on public transportation, where L.A., they don't know what public transportation is. Public transportation, please, we'd rather sit in traffic for 3 hours. It's all about the freeway and the highways and their cool little beaches, while we have Ocean Beach where rocks everywhere in the water. You might cut your feet going 5 feet deep into Ocean Beach. Anyway, 888-957-9570. LeBron James and the Lakers taking on the Golden State Warriors tomorrow. We got some Nick Wright sound coming up. Nick Wright, you heard it on the leadoff show with Stephen Langford, basically saying the Warriors should rest their players tomorrow night. What the hell is Nick Wrong talking about? We'll get into that. But first, King of the Hill playoff edition coming up. Kate, I need your help here with
Let's
the King
go.
Of the Hill
Let's
playoff
go.
Edition of the Morning Rose. It's Kate, it's Shasky, it's Bonte. We'll be right back.